You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show at Talk Loud Podcast. Subscribe to us, as always, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and TuneIn Radio. Find us at TalkLoudRadio.com. Streaming on the Going for Two app, and you can now ask Alexa to play Talk Loud Radio as well. All right, we have some great guests coming on tonight. We have the tandem of Kelly and Rashawn from the Red Zone Live radio show on Momentum Shift Network. You can hear them live every Friday night from 7 to 9 Eastern if you visit blogtalkradio.com/momentumshift. And you can always hear them on demand here at goingfor2.com. All right, guys. Kelly, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Rashawn, how are you?
Same here, cold, snowing, but it don't matter.
Yeah, it's definitely cold here in Virginia, man. I think it's like -2 degrees right now with the wind chill, and that's not this time of year. We don't get that kind of cold weather, so it's definitely unseasonable for sure. All right, so let's before we jump into some NFL topics, I wanted to talk about our fantasy football league for all the listeners out there. Myself, Kelly, Rashawn, a bunch of the Going for Two writers and some of the Momentum Shift radio hosts had a fantasy football league this year. It was a 16-team PPR league with four divisions, so a very big league, very deep league. And I'm sad to say that the championship game came down to Kelly and Rashawn. We got all these expert writers here at Going for Two, and we got beat by two radio hosts. So very disappointing year, to say the least. Rashawn actually ended up taking it home. He had the best team pretty much all year. Him and Kelly, basically the top of the ranks every year, the whole year. And Rashawn actually beat Kelly in the championship game. So how's it feel, Rashawn?
Well, I don't want to, you know, sound like I'm bragging or nothing, but I did it all without Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? I lost Aaron Rodgers in like week seven, one of those 2 weeks. And I was basically going with Tyrod Taylor. 1 week I had Mitchell Trubisky, Eli Manning, and then I ended it off with Nick Foles. But listen, me and Kels, we rocked it all year. Kels was consistent with her play, and with her players, I didn't really see her making too many moves. I was scared of her Ben Roethlisberger matchup with mine, you know, because they love the pass. But the key to my victory was Le'Veon Bell. Consistently, he would get me on average about 25 points a game. I knew that he was going to bring it home for me. I'm not trying to brag or nothing to say that me and Kel are smarter than your fantasy experts, but you know.
I'm not trying to brag, but I'm going to just mention it a couple times. That's, yeah, I see how it is.
But I had fun, man. It was a great league, great year, man.
Definitely, definitely. I really enjoyed it. My team actually started off horrible and then sort of came on strong during the bye weeks. I thought I had a chance to catch y'all, and then I ended up running into Eric Frostbutter, one of our writers, in the first round, and his team knocked me out in the first round. So very disappointing year for me. Across the board, actually, all my teams this year have been pretty much struggling. So I'm going to make a comeback next year, though. We'll be good next year. Kelly, tell us about your year in the fantasy in the league this year. What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, I always enjoy playing with you guys. It's good to actually go up against experts for a change. But this year in our league, I was just happy I didn't get hit with the injury bug. I play in a few different fantasy leagues, and my one that I play with the guys I used to be with in Cleveland, I got hit with injury after injury, from David Johnson to Zach Miller to Deshaun Watson. And I was just happy and going for two. I didn't have any major injuries to worry about. And that's what helped propel me into that championship game, that I didn't have to keep switching out for players, especially considering how deep that league was with 16 people playing. That's a huge, huge blow when you lose, you know, a first to third round draft pick.
Definitely. Definitely. I think when we did our draft, I did an article or write up on it. And I think after all the quarterbacks were selected, the best quarterback left in the free agent pool was Blaine Gabbert, who wasn't even a starter. So you can kind of see how that, how deep that league goes. So it's definitely a 16 team league is a whole nother beast. All right, let's jump. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Rashawn, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's definitely a huge challenge, especially considering the number of injuries in the NFL this season.
Definitely, definitely. Rashawn, what are you going to say?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, I was going to say that too. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor got benched in the middle of the year, so it put me in a bind. But like you said, when it's 16 teams, you know, you lose a player, it's hard to replace it.
Definitely, definitely. You mentioned in that game with Tyrod Taylor in the benching, that's the game that kept me out of the playoffs in my Dynasty League. I've been kind of known as the quarterback killer in my Dynasty League. So we started this league last season, and I drafted Blake Bortles, who had a great season the year previous. Of course, he was terrible last year. So I make a trade mid-season to get Derek Carr, who promptly breaks his leg. And then during the offseason, I was able to move Derek Carr and get Jameis Winston, who obviously had a terrible year. And then I replaced Jameis Winston with Tyrod Taylor, and then he gets benched. I mean, it was just like one thing after another. I'm like, man, I'm just going to play without a quarterback, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy, man.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into some real-life NFL here. I know this is a fantasy sports show, but we like to talk some real-life NFL as well. Everyone's seasons are pretty much done unless you're playing daily fantasy. So I wanted to talk some real life NFL here. And the first thing I want to do is give out some regular season awards. We won't do all of them because there's quite a bit, you know, defensive player of the year, defensive rookie of the year, et cetera, et cetera. We'll stick to the four major categories, I think they are. And we'll start off with rookie of the year. Like, who do you have for your rookie of the year, Rashawn? I'm going offense or defense. Who do you think? If it was just one award, who do you got for your rookie of the year?
I'd have to go to New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara. I think he had a spectacular year as a rookie. You know, I know he paired with Mark Ingram, but he do so much in the passing game for Drew Brees. Yeah, 81 receptions this year for 826 yards, what, 5 touchdowns, 11 catches for 20 or more yards. He did it 11 times. I think that he had the most impressive. I think he started off excellent, and then he kind of faded off in the middle of the year. Then he started picking it back up once Kansas City started winning. But I have to give it to Alvin Kamara. His team is positioned one of the favorites to come out of the NFC, and is he's one of the big reasons why.
Definitely, definitely. I agree with you on that one. Kelly, do you have anybody else different for your rookie of the year?
No, I mean, this is why you're supposed to, observe podcast etiquette and always go ladies first, because Rashawn totally stole my thunder on that one. But I do want to give a shout out, though, to Deshaun Watson, because I have no doubt that had he not gotten injured and cut his season short, that he would be taking home this award. What we saw from him, I called him as a special player way back in the preseason. And then when he finally started getting those starts, he was proving me right week after week. He was a fun kid to watch. So had he not gotten injured, I think that he would have gotten the award. But now that he is gone, Kamara all the way.
Definitely. I agree with both of you. I think Watson would have definitely got it, because it's kind of skewed to quarterbacks. If they have a big season, they get the rookie of the year. The only guy I want to throw into the hat, basically, I don't think he'll win it, but Kareem Hunt, of course, in Kansas City, started off like gangbusters. He had a little bit of a rough patch in the middle of the season. He finished off strong. If it wasn't for Alvin Kamara out there, I think Kareem Hunt would definitely be the rookie of the year this year. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's move on to coach of the year. This time, Kelly, we'll go with you.
I mean, I think it has to be Doug Peterson, just because nobody saw it coming from him. Everybody at the beginning of the season was saying he was a terrible coach. They said he had no business being a head coach. The Eagles were not supposed to even have a winning season, if you talk to the experts going into it. And then look what he did. I mean, of course, I think it's going to depend on what happens going forward into the playoffs. But I think that he has definitely made a case. He's got the respect of the players. He's completely changed the culture in Philadelphia, where we are unselfish. We are next man up. We are one team, one dream at this point in time. And a lot of that comes down to the leadership of Doug Peterson and the respect that he gets from the players. So I think he absolutely deserves that award.
I couldn't disagree with that one. I think that's a good call. I think they were picked by most experts, including myself, to finish last in that division. You know, they finished up first in the division, actually the only team to actually make the playoffs in that division. You know, there were some injuries that happened, but I mean, to be picked last in the beginning of the season and get the number one seed, that's a pretty amazing feat. So can't disagree there. Rashawn, who you got?
I have to agree with both of y'all. Doug Peterson, I don't think there's any question. Concerning Jeff, you just brought up the injuries. We lost Jason Peters in the middle part of the year. We lost Darren Sproles in the beginning of the year. We lost our middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks. And we still compiled 13 wins on the season. Basically sitting our starters for the majority of the game in the last game, in which I think we would have scored a touchdown. I think we could have won a franchise record 14 wins. Like Kel said, last year, a lot of people was wondering how in the world he even got the job. You know, in the beginning of the year, he didn't like doing press conferences. It seemed to be unsure of himself. But like Kel said, the players rallied around him. The players loved playing for him. Looked like a fun environment, unlike the years with Chip, where everybody seemed uptight, like it was like everybody was choreographed as to how to be, what to say. And you know, it's just a loose environment now with Doug Peterson. And, the next man up mentality. We had a bunch of injuries, including our who I believe would have won the MVP had he not gotten hurt, Carson Wentz, made a drastic change from last year. I mean, he was arguably the best quarterback in the league this year. And I think Doug Peterson and our offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, had a lot to do with that. I love Doug Peterson, and I think he's the coach of the year. And I think Kels, now we can start calling him WP again. last year, we took his nickname from him, and we said he had to earn it back. We the number one seed going into the playoffs. I know there's a lot of doubters, but I still believe in this team. I still think we can go to the Super Bowl. Winning it, I don't know, but just getting there is going to be a party. So Doug Peterson, definitely coach of the year.
Nice, nice. The only other name I want to throw into the hat would be Sean McVay, the guy who pretty much single-handedly ended Jeff Fisher's career. I don't think anybody's going to hire Jeff Fisher after he had that team last year looking horrible. McVay goes there his first year as a head coach. I think he's like 32 or something crazy. Turns that team around completely. You know, they're a crazy good offense now, where last year they couldn't even move the ball. I think they were dead last in offensive yards last year. I think this year they were like either top one or top two. It's either you or the Eagles. Either them or the Eagles were the top two offenses this year. So I think Sean McVay will get some consideration. But I think considering that the Eagles are the number one seed, I think that Peterson definitely takes it home for sure. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Defensive Player of the Year, and this time we'll go to Rashawn.
I got Jacksonville's Calais Campbell. I think he's having an excellent year. They got the Jaguars back into the playoffs. 67 tackles, defensive end. I think that's absolutely amazing. 47 total, 67 combined, 20 assisted. But he got 14.5 sacks, and I think he's just been a monster. I think he's just been a monster. Got that defense rolling down there in Jacksonville. It was close between him and Aaron Donald, but Aaron Donald missed a couple games this year. So his numbers are better. Calais Campbell's numbers are better. So I'm gonna go with Calais Campbell, Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end.
Definitely a good pick there, Kelly. Who you got?
I'm actually going to go with Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan. I think that, you know, a lot of people have always said the Saints have no defense, have no defense, have no defense. And then what happened this year? Like, all of a sudden, they found themselves a defense. And I think Cameron Jordan was a huge part of that. The fact that he had 13 sacks on the season, one interception, over 60 tackles. I think that the Saints have found a new identity in their defensive game. And I think that he's a big part of it. So I'm going with Cameron Jordan.
Yeah, I'm too going with Cameron Jordan as well. I think that Saints offense, I know playing fantasy football, playing daily fantasy, The Saints defense was one that you would always start your players against automatically. When you're playing the Saints defense, you were like, yes, I'm starting, you know, my quarterback's playing the Saints this week, or my running back's playing the Saints this week. They're going to put up numbers. And then that completely flipped around. And I think a lot of it had to do with Cameron Jordan, because if you can get to the quarterback as a defense, you can, you know, be a good defense. And I think Cameron Jordan did a lot to help that defense. Of course, they got some good rookies this year too, that also helped. But for me, it's definitely Cameron Jordan as well. All right, let's do the big one now. MVP. Kelly, we'll go with you first.
I mean, I know you can't really give it to Carson Wentz, being how he missed, you know, the last few games of the season with his injury, but I would just feel dirty going with any other quarterback. So I'm going to go with Todd Gurley. Because like you said, Sean McVay completely turned that Rams team around. And if you look at their offense, it is right on those big, strong shoulders of Todd Gurley. I mean, he has just been absolutely amazing. It seems like nobody can tackle him. He can do no wrong. So I'm going to go with Todd Gurley because I refuse to say that other name that starts with T.
Rashawn, who you got?
Well, Kelly, being as though you can't say it, let me say it loud and proud for you.
No.
Is the 40-year-old in Tom Brady. Now, I like Todd Gurley. I think it's the last 4 weeks of the season he's come more strong. But Tom Brady doing this at 40 years old, this is almost routine. You just know the Patriots are going to win at least 12 games. If they win less than that, you think, you know, we're going to get a bomb cyclone like we got this past weekend. But, yeah. 66% of his passes completed, 4,500 yards passed for, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. This is the fourth straight season that Tom Brady has thrown less than 10 interceptions. The fourth straight season. This man is unbelievable, man. He is the LeBron James, the Michael Jordan of the NFL. And until somebody dethrone him, he is always going to be in MVP talks. And I think this year, sad to say, if Carson Wentz hadn't got hurt, I believe, you know, he would have won it in his second year doing what he's done. But you got to give it to the old man, Tom Brady.
It's hard to argue with Tom Brady. And honestly, I think with just how history goes, I think he gets it because he's a quarterback. But I would love to see Gurley get it. I think I want to say Adrian Peterson was the last running back to get that award. I'd love to see Gurley get it. You know, 19 total touchdowns, 13 on the ground, 6 through the air. He was nearly, you know, he's about 200 yards short of having 1,000 yards receiving, not to mention his 1,300 yards that he had on the ground. Just an awesome back. I think I saw a stat where I think Gurley is the highest percentage owned player in all fantasy championships this year. So if you had Gurley in your lineup, you pretty much were in the championship game this year. I think he was just had an amazing year, and just kind of goes back to like, what could he have done last year if he had McVay last year? You know, Jeff Fisher kind of held him back a little bit. I think that he could have a potential Hall of Fame career going if he hadn't had that season last year.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
All right. Before we look forward to the playoffs here and give you a preview of the playoffs, we'll take a quick commercial break, and then we come back, we'll talk some NFL playoffs.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit GoingFor2.com, because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are here with Kelly and Rashawn of the Red Zone Live. You can find them at blogtalkradio.com/momentumshift. Their show is Red Zone Live. As I said, they are on Fridays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure you check them out, guys. All right, Kelly, Rashawn, you ready to look at these games this weekend?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's say if you had to pick one of these teams, one of these wild card teams that are playing this weekend to run the table and win the whole thing, who are you taking, Rashawn?
I would say the Saints. I think they have the ingredients to do it all. You know, they got running, they got passing, they got an experienced Super Bowl winning quarterback. And as you guys pointed out earlier, they got Cameron Jordan in that defense. I think they have the ingredients to run through the playoffs and possibly win it all, especially with that running attack.
Kelly, who you got?
I don't really like any of them. when we're talking about the wild, we're talking about just the wild card teams. Just they got in on the wild card.
Yeah,
or
just
talking about the matchups in general.
Just the eight teams playing this weekend. So not just the wild card teams, but the division winners that are playing this weekend.
Okay, well then, I have to agree with Rashawn on that. I think the Saints are pretty much the only team playing this weekend that has a chance to run it. Possibly the Rams, but I'm going with the Saints. I like the experience of Drew Brees.
Yeah, I definitely can't disagree there. I think that that's kind of the consensus pick across all the NFL.com is everyone thinks the Saints can do it. Drew Brees basically has the defense. You know, he has the running game, which he really hasn't had his entire career. Even when they won the Super Bowl that year, they weren't a great defense. They had a pretty decent running game, but it was more of a three-headed monster. It wasn't the running game that they have now with the two guys they got there. It's like the number one running game in the league right now. The only dark horse I would throw in there, and it's like a really deep dark horse, would be the Falcons again, only because of the experience. Now, I don't think they're going to get past the Rams, but if they do get past the Rams, I think they can definitely go to the Super Bowl. I think they can beat the Vikings or the Eagles, depending on who they see. I think the Falcons are a dark horse. Like I said, deep dark horse. I don't think they're actually going to make it. I think they'll lose this weekend to the Rams. But if they get past the Rams, I think they've got the ingredients to go all the way.
Well, let's not hope that happens, because if they beat the Rams, that means they play the Eagles next.
Well, see, I would rather face the Falcons than I would any of the other teams in the NFC wildcard round. Sure, yeah. Give me the Falcons.
That experience is something that you really can't discount. I think you've seen it before, even with the Ravens. They get into the playoffs and they're a different team because they've been there before. They're confident in what they're doing. A couple teams are like that where they're just a different team in the playoffs. And I think the Falcons has at least the foundation for that. Now, I don't know if they're actually going to be able to do it, but they were just there last year. They know how this works. I think, like I said, deep dark horse. You know, if they can get past the Rams, they have a shot. But I think it's like y'all said. I think it's the Saints for sure. I'm just trying to keep this podcast from all of us agreeing on everything, because that's kind of the way it's been going so far. All right. So, which matchup are you looking forward to see this weekend? Like, if you had to pick only one game, you can only watch one game this weekend. Which game are you picking, Rashawn?
I'm going to Atlanta Falcons and the Los Angeles Rams. Just by off of the stuff you just said, I'm intrigued to see which Atlanta team is going to show up. You know, is it going to be the Super Bowl appearing team last year with that high-flying offense, or is it going to be the team that barely could score over 20 points this year? I think they've started playing with confidence towards the end of the year. I know they got a big win last week, you know, so I honestly believe that the Atlanta Falcons, I think the Atlanta Falcons is going to beat the Los Angeles Rams. I think the stage is going to be too big for Jared Goff. I know Todd Gurley is amazing, but, you know, if you don't have great quarterback play in the playoffs, I think that a comeback to bite you. It's nothing that I've seen from Jared Goff to suggest that he will have a bad game. I'm just thinking that the experience of it all, you know, being in the playoffs, expecting to go on a deep run. A lot of people are picking the Rams to come out of the NFC, you know, because of Todd Gurley and that defense. I just got a feeling that the Atlanta defense is not too shabby. I think they're going to put pressure on Jared Goff, and I think it's going to cause a couple of turnovers. And I honestly believe that Atlanta is going to walk away with the upset victory over the Rams. That's why I'm looking forward to that matchup more.
Well, you better hope that I'm not right about Falcons being the dark horse then, because they might make it to the Super Bowl if they can get past the Rams. Kelly, what do you got?
If you could match up better.
Go ahead. What was that?
I think the Eagles match up better with Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think they do match up good with Atlanta. I think if that if the Eagles and Rams somehow play, I don't know if it's a possibility. I have to look at the actual seeding there, but I think that would be an offensive explosion. I think either team, I think basically it come down to who has the ball last. I think Falcons and Eagles is also a good matchup, but I don't think it'd be quite as much as offense as Rams and Eagles would be. Kelly, who you got for your game? If you can just watch one game, who would it be?
Well, I pretty much think that the Saints have a lock, and I think that the Rams have a lock. So I'm going to go with an AFC game, and I'm going to go with the Bills and the Jaguars. And my reason why is kind of weird on this one, and it's because I didn't pay attention to either of these teams pretty much all season long. I knew the Jaguars, you know, they put up some good numbers, had some impressive wins, that sort of thing. I saw the stats, but I didn't actually watch any of their gameplay. And pretty much same thing with the Bills. Even though I like to keep an eye on what Tyrod Taylor does, I think he was a fun player last season. I didn't really watch him too much this season. And same thing with LeSean McCoy being a former Eagle. I didn't really watch too many of their games this season. So just to see why they're in the playoffs and to see what they can do on the field against each other, I would want to watch the Bills and the Jaguars.
That's an interesting matchup because, yeah, both of them, I mean, the Jags haven't been there in forever. The Bills haven't been there in forever. It's kind of like the matchup of two teams that just, you know, are never in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out and play. I think I just heard today that LeSean McCoy is questionable to play in this game. Hopefully he suits up because I like to see the Bills at full strength with the chance to beat the Jaguars. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting game to pick. I'm actually picking the Panthers going to the Saints. I think that, you know, all the things we talked about with the Saints being sort of the favorite of this group of teams to make it out of the NFC. I think the Panthers have lost twice to the Saints this year. It's hard to beat a team three times. So I think the Saints got a little bit stacked against them. Luckily, they are at home. They were able to win the division and get the home game, which I think was huge for them because they are a much better home team than they are a road team. So I'll be interested to see how Drew Brees and the Saints come out and how Cam Newton, you know, handles the big stage again, because we know sometimes he can crack under the pressure, and I'll be kind of watching to see what he does this weekend.
Yeah, I actually agree. I think that, I don't know if you're picking, it sounded like you're picking Carolina to beat the Saints. I think Carolina is going to beat the Saints just by everything you just said. I think it's hard to beat a team three straight times, and with all the pressure that they got going for them, you know, everybody picking them. They basically like the favorite to come out of the NFC. I think Cam Newton and the guys, you know, I think with the exception of the loss to Atlanta a couple weeks ago, they've been playing absolutely amazing. They've been playing absolutely, and that defense with Luke Kuechly, they have been playing amazing. I honestly believe that Carolina is going to go to New Orleans and beat them. I think two upsets this weekend.
I don't think Cam Newton can do it. Cam Newton doesn't have it in him. I mean, there's no way that you can have Cam Newton on one side and Drew Brees on the other side and expect Cam with his offense to put up more points than that Saints offense can, especially combining, you know, the 1-2 punch of their run game and then the fact that Drew Brees, I mean, people talk about how old Tom Brady is and how well he's still playing. Let's talk about Drew Brees for a minute. He's not that far behind Tom Brady in the age factor, and he is still playing some amazing football, whereas Cam hasn't been able to win a big game since the last time he went to the Super Bowl, where he choked. He choked in every game. It is any bit of a challenge to him ever since that first big choke. And I just don't think that he's got the heart to lead that team to victory.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a toss up. I think this can go either way. I think the one advantage the Panthers do have, and Rashawn kind of touched on it a little bit, is that they have no pressure on them. They're expected to lose. And I think that is a different feel for Cam Newton. I think when he's expected to win, I think that pressure gets to him. But I think because they're expected to go into New Orleans and lose this game, everyone's picking the Saints, you know, to go to the Super Bowl or at least make it out of this round. I think Cam Newton can, you know, play loose. They can play, you know, Cam Newton's way. You know, he plays like, you know, backyard football. He's just running whenever he can run, slinging the ball over the field. I think that's the one advantage they have over the Saints. The Saints got a lot of pressure on them. Now, granted, they got Drew Brees, so they got experienced quarterbacks, so they won't crack under the pressure either. But if I was going to pick the Panthers, I'm kind of flip-flopping on this game, but if I was picking the Panthers, that would be what I would point to, is the fact that Cam Newton has no pressure on him really to win this game.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that Cam Newton, he may not beat you with his arm, but he can beat you with his legs. You know, he's a dual-threat quarterback, and I think he takes a lot of unnecessary hits But I think he pick and choose when he runs. And I think when he picked the run, I think most 9 times out of 10, he's choosing right. And you got to leave one of those linebackers out there to watch him. I just see Cam Newton going in there beating Drew Brees. I'm not saying that he'll outplay Drew Brees, but, you know, it's 10 other guys out there on the field with him that'll help him out to get it done, you know, and I think that they're going to do it.
All right. All right, since we're picking games, let's go ahead and just jump into our picks for this weekend. We'll start with the matchup that we didn't even talk about yet. The Titans going to the Chiefs. Of course, the Titans were kind of a surprise a little bit this year. They started off really good, had a sort of a bad middle of the season, kind of stumbled their way into the playoffs. The Chiefs came out like gangbusters, the last undefeated team in the league, and then basically lost like 6 games straight or something ridiculous. They found their mojo again towards the end of the season. So we'll start with you, Kelly. Who do you got in this game?
I've got the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's the experience of Andy Reid and the fact that, you know, they've kind of been perennials in the playoffs for the past few years. I think that's going to work to their advantage. Like you said, they did kind of lose their identity there in the beginning of the season, but then they got it back. And the Titans, I mean, nobody expected them to even get into the playoffs. It was kind of a weird scenario how they even ended up there. And I don't believe in that team at all. I've seen nothing special out of the Tennessee Titans, so I don't think they've got a chance in hell in playoff season football.
All right. Rashawn, who you got?
I happen to agree with my lovely co-host. I haven't seen you know, the greatness out of Marcus Mariota that everybody saw coming out of college. You know, he's a good quarterback, but he hasn't taken that leap. You know, I guess we're just lucky to see Carson Wentz. You know, Carson Wentz taking such a leap at this first year. I guess we just expect every young quarterback, and Jared Goff for that matter, you know, to do that. And I haven't seen it from him or even Jameis Winston. And I'm rooting for Jameis Winston. I just think that without DeMarco Murray, because I don't believe he's going to play, I just don't think Tennessee has a shot in hell to go into Kansas City Arrowhead, you know, with them crazy fans out there, loud as I don't know what, and beat Kansas City with the experience of, you know, Andy Reid, the explosiveness of Tyreek Hill, and I think, you know, Kareem Hunt getting his mojo back, that Alex Smith is not going to have to, you know, win the game for him, you know, per se, just not lose it. And I just see Kansas City rolling over Tennessee.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I want to try to, you know, because we keep agreeing on everything, but on this one, I just can't, you know, make any case for Tennessee at all. Really, the only thing I'm looking for in this game is, because I believe DeMarco Murray has been officially ruled out, so it will be Derrick Henry this weekend. I'm rooting for Derrick Henry because I have him in my Dynasty League, so I need him to have a breakout playoff game. Albeit in a loss, but it'll be some confidence going into next year that the Titans will eventually hand the reins over to Derrick Henry and I can use him off my bench finally. But yeah, I definitely think the Chiefs got this game. I think they found their mojo. They got back to running the ball. They got healthy on the offensive line. The defense is playing better. I think the Chiefs definitely get their first round victory and move on to the next round. All right, let's move on to the game we kind of talked about a little bit already with the Falcons. I picked them as my dark horse going up against the Rams. Kelly, we'll go with you first.
Well, I hope that you're right, that the Falcons do become a dark horse victory over the Rams because I would much rather face Atlanta than the Rams as an Eagles fan. But I do have to give it to the Rams. I think that the Cinderella story of Sean McVay, the NFL's youngest head coach ever by far, I think that it's not quite over for him. It'll be over when they face us eventually. But at this point in time, it's not over. And I think Todd Gurley, the way that offense is playing, they are just absolutely explosive. Last year, we were talking about how the Atlanta Falcons offense was the most explosive, most dynamic, most fun to watch offense in the NFL. But this season, the Rams have completely taken that crown over from them. They have just become... there's no other word but explosive. I feel like I've used it a million times already to describe them, but that's how they play. And I think a lot of that does come down to the coaching of Sean McVay and a change in culture from Jeff Fisher era. And I think their story is just not over yet. I think the fans are going to be behind them 100%. They are playing at home, going to a new city in LA. They really didn't have a whole lot of fans when we played them. They said it felt like, you know, it was an Eagles home game. It felt like an away game. There were so many of our fans in the stands. But the fact that they did put on such a rush at the end of the season that they are going to the playoffs, in LA, I think the fans will start to gravitate. We'll start to see a whole new bandwagon segment of LA Rams fans.
Definitely, definitely. Rashawn, who you got?
Atlanta, I think, look, everybody's talking about Ty Gurley, but a lot of people is forgetting about Atlanta's dynamic running backs and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I think those guys, I think Taylor Gabriel is going to have one of those games this week. I think St. Louis, the Los Angeles Rams, will put some pressure on Matt Ryan. And I think, you know, the slot receivers, tight ends, and, you know, his receiving running backs, which is Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. But Tevin Coleman is a better receiving running back out of the two, but they both can catch it. I think that is going to be, you know, the thing that's going to give the Los Angeles Rams fit. I don't think Julio Jones. Listen, Los Angeles got some great cornerbacks. They got some great, but they're young, too. And I think Julio Jones is not going to have that great game that you expect. I think it's going to be his supporting cast. Mohamed Sanu, one of the better number twos in the league. Boy, I wish, Torrey Smith for the Eagles was even somewhat close to him. He's a red zone threat. You know, when they get down in the red zone, it's hard to stop him. Him and Julio Jones, both over 6 feet tall. I just honestly believe that, you know, Atlanta with their experience is going to carry over and beat the Rams. The Rams is a tough team. Don't get me wrong. I don't think Atlanta's going to go in there and walk over them. But I think, you know, they're going to make Jared Goff cause a couple turnovers. And I just think Atlanta, with that experience, that running game, and that defense, they'll walk out of Los Angeles with a victory. And like Cal said, that's not really a home field event. You know, this city is getting used to having football back. The Rams had a great season this year. And a lot of those fans is out there just supporting the team because it's football again. But they're not diehard. And Atlanta fans, I believe, travel fans. Not quite as well as Eagle fans, but I think there's going to be a lot of Atlanta fans out there. And I honestly believe that Atlanta's going to walk out of there with the victory.
I think if the Rams want a home field advantage, they need to change their uniforms to purple and gold like the Lakers, because that's a Laker town there. That's all there is to it. This Lakers and anything else. But yeah, I think this game is going to be closer than everybody expects it to be. I think a lot of people are picking the Rams to just kind of walk over Atlanta. I think it's going to come down to something that no one ever talks about, and that's special teams. And the Rams have literally the best special teams in the NFL. They've got the Pro Bowl punter. They got a Pro Bowl kicker that they call Legatron. You know, they got a Pro Bowl returner. You know, he should be a Pro Bowler this year at least. They're the only team in the league that's blocked two punts this year. I think it'll come down to a big special team play from the Rams. I think either a 50-yard kick or a big return late in the game. I think that's the difference in the game between the Rams and the Falcons. I think Rams sneak out a 3-point win over the Falcons. All right, let's go ahead and look at the AFC now. So we'll start with the one that Kelly wanted to talk about or watch if she can only watch one game, the Bills at the Jaguars. Kelly, we'll go to you first.
I mean, it's hard for me to pick this one because the reason I want to watch it is the fact that I don't really have any recent film in my head to go these two teams against each other. So I really have no idea how they're going to match up. Of course, the stats would favor the Jaguars to win this, but without seeing how they match up against a team like the Bills and an offense like that, a defense like that, I really intelligently can't make a good pick. My brain tells me to go with the Bills just because in the past I have more from their players to kind of make a comparison. I think that Tyrod Taylor is a very good quarterback. I know LeSean McCoy is a good running back. But I haven't seen too much out of these teams this year. So I'm going to go with the Bills just based on the fact that I enjoy what I see from those two players. But the Jaguars, I just really haven't given them a chance. They've been under my radar for so many years. Even when they started getting good, it was like I didn't believe it enough to sit and turn on one of their games.
All right, fair enough. Rashawn, who you got?
I got the Jaguars. I don't know, but I'm assuming LeSean McCoy, if he's a game-time decision, you know, he's not going to be quite 100%. But I know the kid is going to go out there and give it his all. He's a warrior. You know, he played 6 years here in Philadelphia. We know all about LeSean McCoy and his heart. I just don't think they're going to be healthy enough, meaning because of LeSean McCoy. You know what I mean? He is their team. You know, I know that they picked up Kelvin Benjamin, and I know Tyrod Taylor, you know, I think Tyrod Taylor has had a nice season. aside from getting benched, I think he's had a nice season this year. He's a dual threat running back. I mean, a dual threat quarterback. And you know, I just think that, you know, with LeSean McCoy being hobbled, and you know, running game. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Jacksonville, that defense and that running game, is going to overpower the Buffalo Bills. But it was a great story with Buffalo. I've been watching on YouTube the reaction of that fans when Baltimore gave up that long touchdown on 4th and 12 to Cincinnati, and they got into the playoffs. It's a great story, and I would love to see Buffalo win it. This is their first playoff game in 17 years.
Yep.
You know, that's almost a generation. You know, so I'm excited they're in it, but I just don't think they'll have enough to stop that running game of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Rashawn. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars do win this game. I think it'll be closer than expected. I think everyone is like, the Jaguars defense is this great, and they are. Don't get me wrong. You know, they've started to name this place Saxonville. It's kind of the name they've kind of given themselves, the Saxonville Jaguars, because they get a lot of sacks. Great defense. I think they were the number one defense going into the game against us, the 49ers. Of course, then we dropped 44 points on them and sort of knocked them out of that top spot. But overall, I think they're a great defense. They're built around the running game. If the Bills can somehow find a way to stop the run, which is what we did, we held Leonard Fournette to 48 yards rushing, and we forced Blake Bortles to beat us, which he couldn't. He threw 3 interceptions. I think if the Bills can somehow stop Leonard Fournette, stack the box, and force Bortles to beat them, I think they have a shot. But overall, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars has just got too much firepower, both offensively and defensively. I think they get the victory in this one. And also, I want to apologize to the people listening to the podcast. We've had some connection issues. Rashawn sort of cut in and out on that last thing there. So hopefully we can finish this podcast without any more issues. But we'll move to the last game here this weekend. We've got the Panthers going to the Saints. We've already kind of given our picks on that, but just to go over it one more time, Rashawn, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think Carolina's going to figure the Saints out. Even though I got Alvin Kamara winning Rookie of the Year this year, the Carolina Panthers is going to slow him down, rushing and receiving. Mark Ingram, mainly a rusher, you know, the power back. I think Carolina's defense is too nasty. They have been playing nasty the past month or so. They've been playing with a chip on their shoulder. And listen, going into the third game against the New Orleans Saints, like you said, they have no pressure. They have no pressure on them. I believe Cam Newton can go into a hostile environment and beat the Saints. You know, it's a tough place to play. It is extremely loud in the Superdome. But Cam Newton has won big games. You know, I know Cal don't really like him that much, but getting to the Super Bowl, he had to win a big game or two to get there, and he did choke in the Super Bowl. I honestly believe he was paid off. But, you know, but yeah. But I think that they'll do it. I think that they'll do it. I think the addition of Christian McCaffrey, who didn't have a great, great year this year as expected, but he is added, a weapon for Cam Newton. You know, he's had almost 100 receptions this year. You know, they still got Jonathan Stewart, who is about 137 years old. You know, he still gets some quality yards. And listen, they've been hitting on all cylinders. But I am worried about Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen has been hobbled all season long, and he's come back for the last couple of weeks. And I know that's Cam Newton's safety that he's playing. He's not going to be 100%, but he's going to give it a go. And I'm worried about him. I hope he can, you know, finish out the game without no problems, because I think that'll give another weapon to Cam Newton. And I think that defense is going to be too nasty. I think they're going to blitz a lot, make Drew Brees get that ball out of there fast. Don't make him sit. I mean, have him sit back there in the pocket. You know, Michael Thomas is a great weapon, but you know, I just think that, you know, that defense is going to bottle Drew Brees up, and I think, you know, Carolina's going to walk out of there. I think Carolina's going to beat them by like 10, too.
Okay, wow. Bold prediction right there. All right, Kelly, we know you got the Saints and you're anti-Cam, but go ahead and give us your argument again.
Well, the biggest reason for this is when I think about quarterbacks that are cool under pressure, quarterbacks that, you know, just have that I don't give a rat's butt about what's going to happen. Two names that come to mind for me are Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was placed on IR twice, so obviously he's not going to the playoffs. So Drew Brees is the guy that's left. He is just great under pressure like no one else. I mean, a lot of people call Tom Brady a clutch quarterback, and as much as I can't stand Tom Brady, I'm not going to argue that. But you see Tom Brady kind of melt down, lose control, start yelling on the sidelines, that kind of thing. You don't really see that from somebody like Drew Brees. He just takes all of the pressure and channels it into a great game. Whereas Cam Newton, on the other hand, when he starts to feel pressure, he lets his team down. I know you guys think that he's, you know, dual threat, that kind of thing, but when it comes down to it, in the most important game of Cam's life, he let that team down. Maybe he was paid off, like my co-host says. He loves a good conspiracy, so who knows? But I just, when you have two teams that have great defenses, which both of these teams do, granted, it's a new thing for the Saints to have a good defense. They're not used to that, so maybe that'll trip them up a little bit, because Carolina's had a good defense for a while now. But when it comes down to two teams with very good defenses, I take the experience and the grace under pressure on offense every time. Not to mention the fact that, you know, we were talking about Alvin Kamara as rookie of the year. There's a reason for that. He is running lights out football, especially being paired with Mark Ingram. There's no stopping that run game. They're going to find a way to get it done on the ground, which is going to open up the downfield for Drew Brees. So absolutely the Saints. Cam Newton can't compete with that.
I think it's funny how Kelly has now taken the shots at Cam Newton, and she somehow worked in a few shots to Tom Brady as well.
Right. I've never heard this animosity towards Cam Newton from Tom Brady. I've heard this all the time. You know what I mean? This is something new. I love this.
I don't like people that give up on their team. That's why I can't stand Isaiah Thomas. And that's why I don't like Cam Newton.
All right. Fair enough. I'm picking the Saints as well. I've actually picked the Saints to go all the way to the Super Bowl. I think they do beat Carolina. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll come down really to the home field advantage. I think the Saints just have that little bit of extra edge. I did say it's hard to beat a team three times straight. I think the Saints will be able to pull that off. I think it'll be a very close game, a hard-fought game. I almost feel like it'll be a defensive game, which would be interesting to see the Saints in a defensive struggle. I'm talking like a 14-17 type, you know, score at the end of the game there with the late field goal. I think the Saints have a shot to go all the way, basically. So I think they're going to beat the Panthers for sure this weekend. All right. Anybody who's listened to your show and have listened to this podcast to this point already know that you're Eagles fans. I wanted to get your chances that you think that Nick Foles can get you to the Super Bowl. Rashawn, I'll go with you first. What's your thought on your chances of Nick Foles leading y'all to the promised land?
I'm very, very optimistic. And I think the reason is that Doug Peterson is going to change the game plan up. I think he's going to run a more up-tempo offense that Nick was used to, especially under Chip Kelly. That's when he had his most successful season. He has the weapons that he had back then. He has a running game. He has receivers. I think that, you know, it's been an aberration what we've seen the last 2 weeks out of Nick Foles. I think that Doug Peterson thought that he still had Carson Wentz. Nick Foles cannot do the things that Carson Wentz can do. But Nick Foles, I believe, is a better passer than Carson Wentz given the time.
Oh, I mean, bold statement.
They both had the same time. You know, I think Nick Foles can deliver a better pass than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, who's had a great, I'm not saying that he's a better quarterback. Carson Wentz is very athletic, and I think is a better overall quarterback. He can make something out of nothing. Nick Foles, though, if you give him the time to set and pass, I think he's a better passer. And I think he will prove that. I think all the flack that we've been hearing about Nick Foles, ever since Carson Wentz went down, you know, in the power rankings, I'm a huge follower of that. You know, everybody has basically given up on the Eagles. The score had the Eagles ranked number 11. This team was 13-2 at the time they had them ranked 11. They had a couple 7-16s ahead of the Eagles.
Wow.
Like what? I mean, well, no, like 9-16 ahead of the Eagles. I couldn't believe it. But I just think that this team is going to rally around Nick Foles. I've heard LeGarrette Blount, you know, tweet out to the fans, calling the Philadelphia fans lame fans. And I think that the Philadelphia fans have been acting lame. You know, I'm born and raised here in Philadelphia, and I've never seen a fan base turn on a team this much just because of one man. Carson Wentz has an entire career ahead of him. You know, you can't tell me that us winning the Super Bowl this year will be slightly diminished because Carson Wentz didn't do it. We have never won one before. Now, I don't think we're going to win it this year. I think we can get to the Super Bowl. Whoever we play from the AFC, I think we'll beat it. But I think we will get there, and that will be good enough. And I think that Nick Foles will take us to the promised land. I believe in him. I believe in Doug Peterson's game plan. I believe in a running game, and I believe in the Eagles, you know, stepping up their game to show their brother some love.
All right. All right. So you're picking the Eagles to go and just lose in the Super Bowl. Kelly, what you got?
Wow, I want to say, Rasan, that was absolutely beautiful. And all those times I took your Eagles fan card away, I apologize. Because with that speech right there, you've earned your place in Eagles fandom. So you may have your fan card back. I will not revoke it again. But, I mean, it's kind of a role reversal because I'm always the optimistic fan out of this duo. And now it's Rasan is being super optimistic. And I am trying so hard. I pick the Eagles to win it all because I root for my team until it's statistically impossible for them to win it all. So I have to pick them because they're my team, and that's what you do as a fan. But what I saw against the Dallas Cowboys when Nick Foles was in there, I think a lot of it came down to the fact that he just doesn't have the chemistry yet with the receivers. So I'm hoping that that's something that they are working on right now. But he came out and he looked beautiful for the first few plays. And then it was a drop from Torrey Smith followed by a second drop from Torrey Smith. And that just completely and utterly killed Nick Foles' game plan. So I think Doug Peterson needs to be smart on the routes that he runs. I think we need to not target Torrey Smith. I would like to see him come out, and I'd like to see the rookie Matt Collins go in, because I think he's absolutely earned his spot as, you know, a more prominent role on the team. I think that he's an excellent receiver, and we saw some good passes from Nick Foles going to Matt Collins. But that being said, it came up in my Facebook memories today from 3 years ago, when the last time the Eagles were in the playoffs was the game that we lost to the Saints. And when I saw those statuses in my Facebook memories, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, it's happening again. We have Nick Foles. You know, there's a possibility we're going to play the Saints. And I had a moment of doubt on my team, and it was just, it was terrifying. But then I thought to myself, there's a difference this time around. I mean, Nick Foles, when he played the Saints before on that Eagles team, he didn't really have any weapons. But still, in the regular season, he managed to throw 7 touchdowns in one game to get his jersey up in Canton in the Hall of Fame next to Peyton Manning as one of the only quarterbacks to ever establish that. And I think a lot of fans have forgotten that Nick Foles is that guy. And this year, he has got weapons that he has never had before. He has got an amazing running game, especially with Jay Ajayi in the backfield. The fact that LeGarrette Blount was getting involved when Jay Ajayi was sitting last week. And Corey Clement has been very serviceable and gives a new dynamic to the game when he comes in. He has got one of the best tight ends in football. I say a lot of terrible things about Zach Ertz because I think he's a little bitch. He can't get any yards after the catch to save his life. He trips over his own feet. But you know what? He catches the ball. And as long as you catch that ball 10 yards down the field, you got a first down. It doesn't matter if you fall right over. That's how football is won, one first down at a time. And if you look at, you know, the deep threats, we have Alshon Jeffrey, we have Nelson Aguilar, and Nick Foles has never played with 2 downfield threats before. So it is going to be exciting. It's all going to come down to the offensive line for me. If they can give him the time and protection he needs to get it downfield, a lot of it is going to come down to play calling. Doug Peterson needs to stick with the run to keep that pressure off of Nick Foles. But our defense last week, absolutely amazing. If you look at the fact that we had 7 of our starting defensive players sitting, and we still held the Cowboys at full strength to only 6 points with backups and third string defensive guys out there. And we were still getting sacks. We were still just doing amazing. I think that's going to be our strength. And the fact that this team has rallied together like no Eagles team I have ever seen before. The fact that they are playing as one unit, not a single one of them thinks that they are above the team. And I think that that is what's going to be our strength. The fact that our defense is amazing. We all know that defense wins championships. And the fact that Nick Foles has these weapons, and I think that they're doing it for Carson. They're doing it for the city of Philadelphia. They're doing it for the entire state of Pennsylvania that isn't Steelers fans. They're just doing it because they love the game and they love playing together and they love that teamwork dynamic. And they don't want the story to be over. And me as a fan, I don't want it to be over either. So that's why the Eagles are going to win it all.
All right. You almost convinced me to pick the Eagles with that. So so nice. I think the Eagles' biggest advantage right now, I think, is the bye week. I think they need that bye week. You know, trying to throw a quarterback in the last few games of the season, change the game plan because he's a different kind of quarterback. It's very difficult to do. I think the bye week gives them a chance to sort of install an offense that better caters to Nick Foles' strengths. I do think that they have a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. I think it'll really depend on what happens in the Minnesota game. I think Minnesota actually could beat the Eagles, but I think that's the only team that could beat the Eagles. I think the Saints, you know, going to Philadelphia in cold weather, if they have to do matchup with the Eagles, it'll be a tough matchup for them. So the Eagles can win that game just based on the Saints' horrible road record and not being able to play in the cold. So I think if the Vikings, you know, get knocked out of the playoffs in this next round and they don't have to match up with the Vikings in that last round, they might make it all the way. I'm not giving them a huge chance to do it after watching that Cowboys game. Now, after that first game, when he had like four touchdowns, I was kind of like, oh, maybe he can capture that magic again. But then I saw him against the Cowboys. I was like, now that's the Nick Foles I remember. So we'll see how he gets this offense going after this bye week. And I hope for your sakes that they do make it. You know, I'd like to see them make it. They've never won a Super Bowl before, so it'd be kind of cool to see them in there. But, you know, I can't go out on a limb that far. I'm not a fan of the Eagles, so I can't go that far. But, yeah, I'd love to see them there for sure. All right.
We appreciate it. We'll take you on our bandwagon.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. If I'm rooting for anybody in the NFC, because I think it's going to be the Steelers or the Patriots on the AFC side. And I hate both those teams. So whoever makes it from the NFC, I don't care. You know, I don't care if it's Carolina. I don't care if it's Atlanta. I don't care who it is. As long as whoever the NFC team is, that's who I'm rooting for in the Super Bowl for sure.
I think Minnesota is one and done.
You think so?
Yeah, I have zero faith in Minnesota as well. I don't fear Case Keenum whatsoever.
Exactly.
There's nothing to fear there.
Yeah, he's still a backup quarterback. I mean, come on now. He's had a good season, you know, but this is a different kind of season. You know what I mean? And I think that they're one and done. That defense is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But in order for the Saints not to play the Eagles, that means Atlanta would have to beat the Rams, because the winner of the Saints game, the Saints and Carolina game, assuming the Rams won, would come to Philadelphia. You know, so in order for the Rams, that's how I picked it. I picked Atlanta to beat, the Rams, and I picked Carolina to beat the Saints. And then I picked Carolina to go to Minnesota and beat Minnesota and then come to Philly for the NFC Championship game, because I think Philly would beat Atlanta.
All right.
See, I would rather face Minnesota than any of those other teams. That's the team that kind of scares me the least.
Wow.
When it comes down to an NFC Championship game. I am not afraid of Minnesota whatsoever.
All right. No respect for Case Keenum whatsoever, huh?
Nope. His name is Case Keenum. How can you respect him? Right? His name is Case Keenum.
It's too close to Casey Anthony.
No. Yeah, exactly. All right. So we've pretty much covered all our topics here. We kind of already picked our Super Bowl predictions, so we won't go into that. But again, I want to thank you both for coming on. I think this is the first time I've had you both on my show before. We've had you on individually, but it was good to get you both on to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl and the playoffs this weekend. So great to have you all on again. You can follow Kelly on Twitter at Kelly Rutter. It's pronounced Rutter, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, it's good enough.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's at Kelly Rutter, KelliRutTar. You can follow Rashawn at Baby Black 1977. And their show, obviously, at The Red Zone Live. They are, again, 7 to 9 on Fridays, blogtalkradio.com/momentumshift. Definitely check them out. It's a good listen. They're also on demand at goingfor2.com. Again, thanks, guys, for coming on. I'd love to do this again.
Absolutely. It's been very fun. And even though it went very late, it was still worth staying up for. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
All right, guys.
And this is not really late for me. I'll be hitting deer around this time.
All right. That's a wrap. Have a good night.
Good night.